Supervisors reconvene.
Okay.
Board of Supervisors will reconvene. We will, I want to check the, do you know if the people from RCRC and Cal Recycle called in?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, everybody, for your patience. For everybody online, we're going to do the edible food program, edible food topic now. We're going to do item, we're going to do public hearing first. So that's 8A, and then we'll do the MOU with the cities after that, depending on discussions. So open the public hearing, reading order presentation.
Yes, this is the, is this the second reading, correct?
Correct.
Oh, that's right. The first reading was not a public hearing. So this is the public hearing. It is for the second reading of an ordinance. And this is regarding opting in on the Siskiyou County Integrated Solid Waste Management Regional Agency's Edible Food Recovery Ordinance.
And Ms. Hall, doing the ordinance first, presentation of any staff report?
Correct. Good morning. Joy Hall, Director of General Services. So I'm here today to talk to you about the MOU and the second reading of the Edible Food Recovery Ordinance. As you know, the Edible Food Recovery Ordinance is a mandate from the state. The ordinance is to comply with the requirements of the short-lived climate pollutants. It regulates, or it is regulation that requires the cities, counties, and special districts to adopt and enforce an ordinance or other enforceable mechanism to require businesses that generate edible food to participate in an edible food recovery. So the part of the ordinance for the edible, or excuse me, the enforcement mechanism is to require that the grocery stores enter into a contract with an edible food recovery bank and to do some record keeping and allow inspection in their city to look at the generators. The ordinance also states that Siskiyou County will act as the designated enforcement agency, but the cities and counties itself are responsible entities for compliance with Cal Recycle enforcement, non-compliance with the, to enforce the non-compliant people in their jurisdiction. The Siskiyou County Waste Management Agency and the county are authorized and designated to carry out the responsibilities of the Edible Food Recovery Ordinance. Both of us, the county and the SCWMA, can level penalties or violations for the EFRO. And that's just here for the second reading.
Thank you. A presentation of any correspondence?
It's been done at the clerk's level.
No. And also, I've been asked that the people that are online are not able to hear you, so if you do have a question for them, to speak loudly into your microphone. I do have two people from Cal Recycle, Marshall and Julie, and also Stacy Heaton and Larry are on there, and also our consultant, Deborah Kaufman, is
online. All right. Thank you. And we'll get, I'll just go through presentation of reports or arguments by any staff or other departments. Presentation of arguments by and or evidence. Oh, sorry, proponents' arguments and or evidence. Seeing no proponents. Any opponents? No opponents.
Showing none online.
Public comment. Is there any public comment? This is the time for public comment on this subject. So if anybody does want to say anything, this is the time to.
None online at this time.
No public comments, right? No rebuttals. I will close the hearing. Discussion questions by board members on the ordinance.
So how do we bring in, is this where we would bring in our, ESJPA and Cal Recycle, is that correct?
Yes.
Did you want them to present? You're captain of the ship. How would you want to do it?
I guess we can ask questions. I don't know, Marshall or Larry or Stacy, if there's something you want to lead out with, or if you want to wait to see what our board has in question, how do you want to proceed?
This is Marshall, and I'm happy to address questions. We didn't have anything specifically prepared.
All right.
For you today, other than again being here to address questions and identify opportunities for assistance.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you writing the concept.
Sure. Anything on Stacy or Larry?
Hi, Supervisor Cobbseth and members of the board. Yeah, we're here to, hold on, we've got an echo over here. We are here to address any questions as ESGAPA, you are members of our Joint Powers Authority, and we're here to assist and serve as always. So if you have any questions for us or any way that we can assist you through this process, we're here. So. Yeah, anything you have for us, we're ready to go.
Okay. So I'll just leave that with a question here. We'll just see if we can start the dialogue. So a couple of things are coming up. The relationship between the city and the county with regard to the MOU and the ordinance with regard to enforcement is one. And the other part of it is because my understanding is if we don't have this ordinance in place by April 1, it nullifies the grant opportunity that is available to the cities and the county, even though it's under one or separate. But so I guess the question is, there isn't any flexibility in that. If there's something that we change this ordinance that forces us to go to April 5th, how will that fit the grant funding if it had a deadline of April 1?
And Ms. Black, Marshall?
Anyone.
Virtually.
Thank you. There's just a delay because we have to go through an unmuting process. So thanks for your patience. So it's going to just clarify the second point.
And is this Marshall?
Which is you don't have to have your ordinance passed by April 1st for the grant. If it's not done by April 1st, and actually even if it is, because the deadline was March 1st to get those ordinances, you're just going to go in the second batch of funding. And the deadlines for that to have the ordinance passed is June 14th. So there is some flexibility in time there.
Marshall, if we go into the second round of funding, does that are we guaranteed still the money that was out there, that was put out there? I believe we went for $212,000.
I did follow up to clarify that today. And so what I was told by our grants team is that you would be eligible for the same amount of money, that it would not be less than what was already, published.
Okay.
But it could be more because it just depends on how much total funds have been expended. So I thought that was good news, at least what we said it was going to be, and with the possibility of more.
Perfect. That's a great answer.
On your first point, And I'm mindful of the heaviness on process that we've put you through, all the jurisdictions, and it's not intentional. On the grants, we really, really trying to get the money out to jurisdictions as soon as possible. So that's part of the tightness in the timeline there. On your first question, I wanted to clarify a little bit. I don't think I'm aware of the specific question or questions about the MOU and or enforcement, so can you tell me more about that?
So my understanding is the county is the lead agency, and the interpretation is that we are doing the enforcement for the cities. And the cities are going, yeah, who county you take it on. But from what we talked about last Thursday at ESJPA, it sounds as though the cities still have a role of enforcement and that they don't abandon it to the county in total.
Okay, thank you so much. So each jurisdiction is, so that would be the cities and the county, are required to identify their tier one and tier two edible food generators. And we'll come back to that. And you can have a process where there's an MOU and the county does take on those responsibilities. There are different models for what that looks like. And in some cases, the Joint Powers Authority takes the enforcement responsibility. In other cases, it's incorporated to the existing inspections at these edible food generators. They're all food establishments, and so they're already being inspected as such. And so these requirements could be incorporated into that process and timeline. So there's not a one size fits all. And my understanding is that there aren't that many edible food generators in the county. I want to say 10 to 12, maybe 15 area. And so
we have 11.
The requirements are limited to those generators. It's not all the establishments in the county. So I see Larry has something to say. I apologize.
Just a hold on a sec. Yeah, so just to add to the clarification, I think that Supervisor Cobstaff's looking at is individual jurisdictions are accountable in their own right, but since you're a regional agency, both with the MOU you have and also with this ordinance, the responsibility for that would first pass through to the county. And as Marshall mentioned, that there is existing inspections for food safety going on with environmental health departments, and adding in the 1383 responsibilities is common for that, but each jurisdiction gets to decide that for themselves. But so with your ordinance, that does allow the county to oversee that operation for the enforcement. So I'm glad clarifies.
I'm still having in the ordinance from I, J, and then section 1514.02 A, B, and C, it all talks about the responsibilities and the designated, who's designated for enforcement. And it still kind of goes back and forth between who the designated enforcer is, and it still doesn't, to me, clarify. It's sort of like the flip of the coin, who wants to take it, whether it's the county or the city, but it still, to me, basically puts the onus on the county. And it kind of says, well, you can, or you can change it. So do we do that here in the ordinance, rewrite it, or do we approve the ordinance and then change it somewhere else down the line, or do we hand it back to the cities before the ordinance is approved? How do you want us to do that?
The cities have already adopted their own ordinance into the edible food recovery, stating that they will enforce in their cities, and they are ultimately responsible for the compliance in their cities.
Okay, but in J it says, whereas Siskiyou County understands that even though the cities are delegating SB 1383 enforcement to the county, the cities and the county itself are responsible entities. So they're supposed to do it, but you see what I mean?
I do. My understanding is for us as the county, we will go in and do the inspection, make sure that they are doing everything that they're supposed to in these 11 grocery stores, that they have that contract in place, make sure that they're not throwing food away, that it can be recovered, and then also do some education and outreach. But that is also the responsibility of the cities to do education and outreach on top of that.
So then it's redundant, and it costs us both money to do the same thing. That makes sense.
Anything else you reserve? Go ahead if you want.
I've talked this to death already. I'm not.
This is Larry Sweetser. If I may. You're sort of on the right track in the sense that the county will be taking the lead. There's no way that with the regulations here in AB 939 that the cities can totally escape it, but you let the county take the lead, as the ordinance has, to do that enforcement. If it doesn't work, well, it's education, it's inspection, it's enforcement, a number of things in there. So the county would be taking the lead for the ordinance in all the efforts. And the cities get to make sure that it does get done. If for some reason, and I think it's been extremely rare it ever happened, if the regional agency doesn't fulfill those goals, then the countercycle would go off to ask each individual city on what they did to make sure that it would happen. So there's no need to duplicate the effort of education enforcement with that. It's just that there's no way to escape that with individual cities necessarily, but you do give the regional agency the ability to do the work up front without duplicating the effort. So hopefully that helps.
Any follow-up, Supervisor? Supervisor Hopp, and then if Supervisor Copsett has questions.
I have nothing good to say.
Okay. I'll take that as no comments at this time. Supervisor Copsett?
So, is there some tweaking that we should be doing to this ordinance, I guess? Now we know we have some flexibility until the 14th. We're not under the gun, as we thought, and that was kind of crippling us. So is there some things that we need to clean up in this?
Or can we?
Or can't? Well, yeah, we can.
Yeah.
We still have the opportunity that makes this a little more palatable. And I guess, If, for instance, somebody was out of compliance, if the city was out of compliance with a vendor, per se, that wasn't conforming, does the fines come down on the county or the city?
No, it comes down on the city.
Okay. But with regard to the ordinance, we can still tweak this, I think.
It sounds like my understanding to begin with is we had to have it done by April 1st in order to be involved in the first round of funding. And if we did not make it in the first round of funding, we were not guaranteed to get money in the second round of funding. But it sounds like from what Marshall is saying is that we will be we can get that second round of funding at the same amount as the first round.
Right. Well, we didn't make the first round anyway, really, did we?
If we approve the second reading today, I would have to upload that ordinance by April 1st for first round of funding.
She said it was March 1st.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, March 1st was for, I have it as April 1st for the first round of funding. Marshall, what's the deadline for April 1st?
Thank you. This process has been a little confusing, and in order to meet the April 1st kind of funding deadline that we're shooting for announcing, the deadline to have enforceable ordinances was actually March 1st. So even if you took action today, you wouldn't meet that deadline. And I want to clarify that this has been confusing, even internally, for us. And so I want to make sure I clarify that so that it doesn't seem like Joy's missing the boat here. She's right on top of everything. It's just...
In the grant funding, it has a timeline in there. And I believe that the April 1st one said... the ordinances had to be uploaded by April 1st. Is that correct?
The ordinances need to be uploaded, and we might be confusing, because it is confusing, that with the April 1st initial reporting to CalRecycle, and in that report, you would upload your current ordinances. And then the case that there isn't an ordinance approved yet, you would just indicate that it's in process. And then there's another reporting requirement not too long after that, and you would just provide an update. So I think we might be thinking of the April 1st reporting deadline, and in that case, you are asked to like include the CalGreen, MWello, ordinances, and then if you had the ethical food recovery as well. So I hope that clarifies.
We've thrown a lot at you just coming out of the bullpen, haven't we, Miss?
Yes.
We have.
Chair?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is Ed Turner, County Council. I just want to, is it a couple things. First of all, is it possible that maybe the deadline by which the ordinance needs to be passed is different than the deadline by which need to upload it? Is that potentially the source of confusion? And then, I guess, more importantly, are we confident we're not going to be losing any money and having any adverse consequences if we don't pass this today, the ordinance today?
So, there would not be a penalty or negative consequence for you not passing the ordinance today, because the importance is that you're making it fit appropriately for the county and the authority to that degree. Further, if for some reason, which we have no intention of right now, we were to do a compliance review, there's a process for that. And we would ask to see the ordinances. And in the case of edible food recovery, we wouldn't have one that's completed, but we would see that you've taken the steps and that you're working on doing it. Alternatively, if you had done nothing, or, you know, I'll just leave it at that, then we would, we could issue a notice of violation, which has a timeline for correction. But we also have the discretion to do that. And if we see that you're moving along, we wouldn't need to do that. So you're doing what you need to be doing. And if today you don't feel comfortable or it doesn't work for you to pass the ordinance because you want to make sure that it's, you know, meeting your specific needs, then that is appropriate. And we want to provide you assistance in doing that. We want to provide compliance assistance. We're not in a point where we're just going to pull the trigger on any kind of penalties. Having said that, because I get asked a lot, what if we don't do anything? Then when we do prioritize compliance reviews, those that have, you know, stated outright, you know, we're not going to do anything, they would just go to the top of our compliance review. There's not any kind of immediate penalty. So I just kind of want to take that off the board as a driver, especially as it relates to edible food recovery, because I do believe that that's something that the county and all the cities benefit from overall.
Could I ask a question, please?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is Supervisor Valenzuela. So thank you for being here. So one of the things I think we get hung up on is enforcement, penalties, yada, yada, yada. You know, it's taken a long time to get off the ground, a green waste program. We have a free dump day coming. And one of the things I've been trying to work on is a composter, something we can give away. If we're doing those kind of things, does that not reach to a level that we're not going to be looked at unfairly because we are trying to do the best we can with very limited resources? That's a question for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that for me?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, it's a little hard to hear, so
thanks
for your patience. The county has been implementing everything that they need to implement already in terms of AB 939 and working on the mandatory commercial recycling. You guys already have a rural exemption as it relates to any requirements for organics recycling, whether that be for 1383 or AB 1826. And on top of that, we are continuing to have discussions with the community and about interest in composting. And we have been working with a couple of business prospects, folks that are wanting to have a composting facility, working with the county on options for that. And that's all voluntary. And so those things are definitely noted. And one of the aspects of our work with ESJPA is that we were, you know, in the rulemaking, we were able to negotiate, I guess, some, you know, rural waivers and having some flexibility or relief there. But part of that was also acknowledging that rural jurisdictions, even when they have exemptions, are still doing what they can to manage their organic waste, you know, regionally or locally. So Siskiyou County is right in line with that.
Supervisor Valenzuela, do you have more questions?
No, that satisfies me where I am with this. This is not something that I'm going to get overly worked up on. I was at the ESGA presentation. I think she, you know, again, the same thing is that they're not looking to come out because it sounds like when we talk about enforcement and fines and stuff like that, they're going to come down in hammers. That's not how I see it. Again, I look back at what we've been trying to accomplish internally. I think we meet the criteria that we're not going to rise to any level where they're going to start penalizing us. That's how I view this, so
okay.
I'm comfortable moving forward at some point in time.
Through the chair.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sorry, and if I missed the answer, I apologize. I understand that it sounds like we're not going to be fined if we don't pass something today. I don't know if I heard a response to the question of whether or not we're going to miss out on funding. It sounds like you indicated earlier that we would be eligible for an equal amount of funding later down the line, and therefore, in the long run, we wouldn't miss out on any funding. But I just want to double check that because obviously, receiving grants would be something that's important to us.
Thank you, and I'm happy to clarify. This is Marshall again. So you will not be precluded from the grant for the local assistance grant if you don't take action today. The deadline for that is July 14th. I mean, June 14th.
June.
Oh my, that's the last thing I need to do is give you guys bad information.
Oh, that wouldn't look good.
Sorry, June. You have time, and again, you are, my understanding is you are, would be eligible for the same amount we originally posted, at a minimum.
Right. Supervisor Hawk, thanks for your patience.
Yeah. Question I have is maybe a point of legal confusion on my part. How can I put this? So I read the clauses regarding the constitutional piece and not being a constitutional issue. So my question is more along the lines of, I understand our county's role when it comes to public health and safety, inspection of food, yada, yada, yada. Okay. But what I don't understand is, in this rare case, a city's required to pass their own ordinance. Okay. How can we, as a county, enforce their ordinance, or enforce whether or not they're enforcing our ordinance, when they're a separate entity, and we don't do that on any other code? Unless there's an arrangement between the county and code enforcement for specific contracted services, or where the state has mandated us to be a role, have a role.
Well, I think if I'm understanding what you're making reference to, I think that would be covered by the MOU, essentially a contract between the county and the cities. And I think the state is mandating we play a certain role as the lead agency. So we've got both mandates from the state and a contemplated MOU, which is just another word, of course, for a contract, which would assign us a role in enforcing things within the city, which ordinarily we'd have no jurisdiction to do.
But as I read this, we have the choice of whether we put that in our MOU and in our ordinance.
Yeah, and I'd have to review the legislation to answer that question. I'm not the attorney who's working on the MOU. I can't answer that off the top of my head.
Okay. I can't either.
We do have
Supervisor Hawk.
That's it.
Supervisor Thompson.
So you've answered the question. I think I'm satisfied that we're not under a deadline today. I think that's been the whole emphasis on the urgency. We thought we were going to get fined $10,000 a day starting April 1, blah, blah, blah. I think we are in the process, and I think Marshall is acknowledging that, and I think that at this juncture, I think to you, Ms. Hall, that maybe we go back and look at this ordinance, and even as council has indicated taking another look at it. Maybe there's some modifications that we bring out of this that, with the concerns that have been raised, potentially, but I think that at least for today, we've come to the great understanding that we're not under a drop-dead date today. I do know, Mr. Dean is getting up, so maybe he's got something to add, but for, I'll just use restaurant inspections. That's done by the county in the cities. So I would liken this kind of to that, but we collect the fee, we collect or do enforcement on that with bypassing the cities altogether.
But they don't have an ordinance.
No. Well, maybe they do. I'm not sure of that. You can clarify that, but this ordinance is different than that in a lot of different ways. So go ahead.
Thank you, Rick Dean, Community Development Director. Regarding the environmental health's role with the cities and so forth, we have jurisdiction over the cities unless they internally develop an environmental health specialist to do those services. And so my question is regarding 1383, is it a requirement of an environmental health specialist to do those inspections, or can a code enforcement officer do that? That would be to Cal Recycle, I guess.
I'm so sorry again. Can you repeat the question? I got everything but the very last part of your question.
Yeah, Marcel. My question is regarding the enforcement actions for 1383. Is it required to be conducted by an environmental health specialist, or can a typical code enforcement officer do those inspections?
We don't prescribe the process with which that's done. Like the specific, yep, so that's for local determination. So again, that would be what's gonna best fit what you're perhaps already doing, rather than creating something new.
Suresh, how should you have any follow-up questions?
No, I think that we just need to take a different or a more detailed look on this now that we're not under pressure to get it done today. I think that you can come back, and I'll volunteer myself if you want, a supervisor to dialogue and how you come back with this, to work out some of the details. And if you don't need me, that's fine too. But and maybe there's one other suit that will do it. But I think we need to take a better look at the ordinance itself, and after what we've heard from Marshall today, apply that. So, because Marshall, you've relieved a huge pressure valve.
Yes.
Because we've been all just trying to figure out how to do the right thing, but do the right thing without having a literal gun to the head. So, anyway.
Quick follow-up? Yeah.
Just a quick follow-up. Where I'm at today is not ready to support this as written. I can probably come to grips with support when we have cut our involvement and expenditure to a bare minimum, either through the ordinances or through the MOU.
I did do a little bit of research on how much it would cost the county per year. I'm estimating about $7,500 a year once it's all in place with education, outreach, and the inspection portion of it.
Is that salaries?
Salaries. That's just by salaries alone, not benefits, just salaries. And I just took the highest paying step and put some hours in there, and I came up with about $7,500 once it's all in place and we're running smoothly.
And basically, if I'll just go to the CAO, you double that basically with benefits.
Correct.
Yeah.
One last question. I'm just wondering how much latitude we really have to revise the ordinance to fit our needs. How much can we really change it?
And I'm also feeling that if we do change the ordinance, that is going to also change the MOU with our understanding with the cities and what they're responsible for and what we're responsible for.
I think Marshall offered assistance in that too, though. Did I hear that correctly, Marshall? Your office?
Well, when it comes to, thank you for allowing me to clarify. When it comes to the ordinance and some of these specific questions you have about roles and responsibilities, that's usually something that we would defer to your legal team. We're not going to be looking at all that level of detail. Our first level is, do you have the ordinance or not? And then later would be, are you enforcing it? Are those inspections occurring? And if there's violations, is education and outreach being provided and the like? So I would defer again those questions to your legal team.
I have a question, Marshall. If we were to do an ordinance that just simply said that we are opting into the edible food ordinance that had no mention of the cities in it, or it was just the unincorporated area of the county, if we had that in place, then we could do an MOU with the cities that states what their responsibilities are and our responsibilities, correct?
Oh, okay, so I'm going to preface it with what I stated before, that that's something just to make sure that jives with your legal team, but functionally, that sounds like it would work. We have a model ordinance that was prepared under contract just for assistance. Again, it's important for you to customize it so that it best meets your needs. And if you can make it more streamlined and simple, then I encourage you to do that.
Mr. Rizzo, do you have any follow-up questions?
No, thank you.
Any follow-up questions from Mr. Valenzuela or Thompson?
I think we have a plan.
I just had a few questions. Chair usually jumps in at the end. In regards to the 11 businesses that impacted, on the record, has any of those 11 businesses objected to this concept?
So I've tried to contact all 11 businesses. Four of them are totally in compliance and have no problems with it whatsoever. They are good with it. Four of them are the Race Century Markets, and I was told to call their corporate office. And I tried to leave a few messages with them, and I had no response from them. Okay. I had one business that didn't know about it, but I did send them some information. The other one, when I called them, I just got left on hold three times that I called them. And then the last one I was not able to get a hold of, but I did send them the information to let them know about SB 1383. And I also did send a letter to all 11 of those businesses to let them know that, to inviting them to this meeting today so that they could talk about how it affects them. And I'm not sure if any of them are online.
I didn't hear any public comment, but thank you. You went above and beyond. Thank you. And then the rest of the cities, any city objected so far?
No, every one of them has adopted their ordinance or in the process of doing it.
All right. And then in regards to the ordinances, if I'm thinking timelines with all the cities, because they have to publish their meetings and they meet, regularly scheduled meetings to pass these sorts of things. What are we looking at for timeline if we do change the ordinance? So the cities have enough time to get theirs changed if they have to change them. Do they have to change their ordinance if we change ours?
I don't believe that they do. Their ordinance is simply for their city alone and their enforceable mechanism.
Okay, so they don't have to change their ordinances?
No, they would not have to change anything.
Okay, that's good. I hate to throw them on a loop if it takes us a little while. For the MOU, did they already pre-approve the MOU?
No, they have not.
Okay, so we would be the first to approve it, and they would have to opt in or opt out.
Correct.
All right. That's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to leave the cities hanging.
The only thing that's going to, for the cities, is because if we're putting it off, we're not going to receive that money until the second round. So that is just, instead of getting it early on, it'll be a little later.
Okay.
Through the grant.
Through the grant. But they're not, that's good. They're set on their end then.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. And then in regards to the county doing it, you said it costs about $7,500, so I'll say $15,000 a year.
Correct.
For the county to run it. I'm kind of along the lines of the county running it. There's some economics of scale with that for each city to try to throw this a little bit on somebody else. It can be quite a burden for some of the small cities.
Yes.
All right.
I don't think we're throwing it on them. They already adopted it.
No, just the inspections part.
That's what I'm saying. In their ordinance, they took it on.
What, you want the cities to do their own inspections?
They are.
Are the cities doing their own inspections?
Well, through the JPA, the Siskiyou County Solid Waste Management,
uh-huh.
They have asked us to do it as the lead agent to do the enforcement and the everything.
But that's through the MOA.
Well, the Siskiyou County Integrated Solid Waste Management Agency adopted an ordinance for the edible food recovery along with the nine cities. Now the county has to adopt their edible food ordinance, which then also is stating that we will be the lead agent in doing the enforcement.
So the
but it does sound like that we can change it so that it is just us adopting an edible food recovery and then do an MOU with the cities that state what our rules are and what their rules are.
And that's an option to have the cities do the enforcement?
I'm not 100%, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if that is. If I remember right, they voted, the nine cities voted that we would, the county would be the lead agency in the enforcement.
The enforcement, okay, right. This would be $15,000 for the county.
Correct.
And some of the cities, you wouldn't even have to really visit, would you?
No. Yeah. Right. Now, there's some cities that don't have anything in them, but...
Right. No, I'm just thinking economics is still on that, but thank you.
Through the chair.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds like I'll... my understanding is the inspections are contemplated to be done along with the inspections that are already being done by the county, as opposed to there being a separate inspection. But it sounds like there's still some things to be worked out, so I'll take over lead in addressing these ordinance and the proposed MOU. And it sounds like we have the ability, if we wish, and I'm getting the sense there is a desire on the board's part to continue this to a later date. It sounds like there aren't adverse consequences to us, so I'll get the answers to those questions the next time we bring it back.
Wishes of the board to continue this second meeting, or if we wanted to start over?
That's up to the discretion of the board. It might be easier just to continue until a later date, so you only have to have one more meeting in the event that no changes are made. But if you prefer, you can simply not pass it, and then we start from scratch.
All right.
So, go ahead, Chair. So if there are changes, we have to start from first reading anyway, correct?
If they're substantive in nature, yeah.
So what's...
But Supervisor Ogden brings up a good point, which I don't know how much discretion we have to play around with the ordinance. I mean, the ordinance is a model which is presumably based upon the state legislation, and without having the legislation in front of me, I can't say to what extent we have flexibility to play around with the language.
Sounds like, from Marcel's answer, though, it could be pretty basic.
I think the state mandates we do certain things. How we word that, I'm sure we have a lot of discretion in, and I can't go beyond that because I don't have the bill in front of me.
So at any rate, we either continue it or we start over. I'm okay with either. I think it's your call. If it looks like it's going to change that much, then we would be starting over. But
If it looks like we've got some flexibility, and I've heard feedback here, we could come back at what is at this point a continued second hearing to make a first hearing, first reading, and so it wouldn't
doesn't hurt anything to continue.
Exactly,
right?
It wouldn't be a drawback to doing it that way.
Do you need a motion to continue, or
I think it'd be good since this is
motion
a public hearing.
Motion to continue.
A second.
A roll call.
Okay, Supervisor Haupt.
No, I'll start over.
To what date is it being continued?
The next regular board meeting is April 5. Would that be enough time?
We've got time. Why not do that? It might be good to do the second.
To the 19th.
Okay. And if the city's not continuous theirs, then it doesn't mess them up in their pattern either. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So you're a no, correct, Supervisor Kopseff?
So I think I'm in. I think of a yes, because no matter what we do to continue it, even if we revamp the whole thing, we're still going to start there as a first instead of continuing it as a second. So I'm a yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela?
I'm yes.
Supervisor, sorry.
Let me clarify.
Okay.
So if we continue...
You're going to say the same thing.
No. Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. So you'll bring it back.
I'm going to look into what our options are. I get the sense that we'd rather commit to do fewer things rather than more things, and so if there are those options, we'll bring back a whole new version, which will be a first reading. And if after looking into what the legislation requires from the state, it doesn't look like we really have flexibility, we'll come back with the same thing and we'll propose a second reading. So we'll come back. Either with the same thing as a second reading or with a whole new ordinance, which will have to be a first reading.
So we'll have the option to do a first reading on a whole new thing.
Right.
If it looks like there's the ability to do that, yes.
Okay, so we still have the option to change it.
Yeah. So
that was a yes?
Is that enough, I guess?
It's an aye.
Thank you. And then Supervisor Chris, then I have a clarification
question.
I think
Supervisor Hough had a question.
Well, I didn't know I was voting on that. I thought I was voting on whether or not we're going to continue the same ordinance in front of us unless there were significant changes.
Yeah,
and then it was going to start over.
Yeah, well, you're voting on whether to continue for a second reading. And I've heard enough feedback to know that if it turns out there's an ability to have a simplified ordinance, that will bring that back at that time, and at that time it'll be a first reading. So you're correct. You're voting on a continuing this as a second ordinance, but we'll bring back a first reading if it looks like there's an option to do that.
I'm still no. I'm not trying to revive a dead horse here.
I'll be an aye.
Okay. And then I have a clarification. We already closed the public hearing. Will it make a difference if we bring back a second? We would still need it to be a public hearing for a second reading, correct? Because that's what this is a public hearing for the second reading, and that was closed.
Yeah, if we come back as a second reading, we already had the public hearing, so the answer is no. Because if we come back and it's a first reading, we'll have to have another hearing, and at that point, we make that a public hearing. So we're okay.
And then we'd have to work in the publication time frame and all that to make it a public hearing again.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, but not at this point. This point, it's just continuing the second reading.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure I understand. I don't get confused.
Another clarification. So, as the vote stands, if you don't come back with significant changes, the ordinance goes through.
It comes back to the board to consider. I can't tell you what the board's going to do, but they'll come back as it is and the board can decide pass or not pass it.
Okay.
It kind of depends on what latitude we have, and Supervisor Oakley brought it for
us.
With that, Supervisor Thompson?
Marshall, Julie, Stacy, and Larry, thank you for joining us today. It was a huge help to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And then just to conclude that, did you need any supervisors to be assigned to that work as well, to dialogue, up to two? Or do you have enough feedback from this meeting, Mr. Kramer?
That's up to the discretion of the board.
Another offer.
Yeah. If you can work out the kinks there, that's better.
Yeah, if any two supervisors want to, I'm not going to object, but if anybody wants to step forward as a volunteer.
Yeah, and
sounds like you're right. I'll let people speak for themselves. I won't volunteer anything. So if someone wants to speak up now, if they don't.
I will, unless Supervisor wants to.
Bless you.
Thank you.
I'm available for consultation. I mean, as is any board member.
Okay.
I'll be part of an ordained committee.
Okay.
To do that.
All right. But Supervisor Cobbsett, Oberyn, you willing to?
Supervisor Oberyn, how do I want to do it? That's fine, too. I mean, I've been in neck deep into this for over a year, so.
Yeah, you know the subject, yeah. All right, we'll stop with that. And then for item 7C, an MOU, I think we'll go ahead and continue that.
I would ask that, again, we do like what we did today and put that behind the ordinance, because it's a mute point if we don't adopt the ordinance.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Do you need a motion to continue that, or just board direction that we're not passing it today?
It's not a public hearing. Don't need it. If you want to do it for continuity's sake, there's no harm.
Okay.
And we would want that on the same date as the ordinance.
Correct.
The 19th.
The 19th.
Right.
I think for continuity, I'll go ahead and make the motion to just continue it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Supervisor Haupt?
No, again.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Oberyn?
Aye.
And Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Really?
It's been a pleasure.
With that, the Board of Supervisors will go into closed session.